A wicked king who was converted by God, chapter 109. The doors of the temple in Jerusalem stand wide open. People come to bring their offerings. Many priests walk around to accept these offerings, but they are not priests of the Lord. No, they are strange priests, idolatrous priests. The temple, the house of the Lord, has become an idol temple. Oh, that is terrible. That is an insult to the God of Israel. How has this come about? What has happened? Children, I am now going to tell you a very sad story. Alas, many things have changed since the death of Hezekiah, the God-fearing king. At that time, the Jewish people served the Lord. And now, look at the city of Jerusalem. It is filled with images and strange altars. Even the temple is polluted by idols. What a change! How has this happened? A new king sits upon the throne of Judah. He is Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. He was a child, a boy 12 years of age when his father died. But he was a naughty, a bad boy. His father had been a God-fearing monarch. But he, dreadful, he cared for nothing. He mocked with God in his worship. He did the most wicked things. Who among you, boys and girls, are like Manasseh? Are there some among you who do not care how wickedly you act? Are there some among you who mock with God and his worship? Manasseh knew better. His father warned him against sin, but he laughed at his serious admonitions. When Manasseh became king, he soon left the worship of the Lord and began to worship idols. Of course, the first few years he himself could not rule. No, the princes and elders of the people helped him therein. They gave him advice. Undoubtedly, the elders of Judah gave him wrong advice. Later, when Manasseh was older and he reigned alone, he broke away from everything. The most ungodly things were performed upon his command. He again rebuilt the high places which his father had broken down. He caused new images to be built in the high places. He planted groves of trees, set idols in these groves, and built altars before these idols. He made those places into heathen idolatrous sanctuaries. Manasseh did still more to anger the Lord. Besides worshiping all those idols, he worshiped the sun, moon, and stars. These heavenly bodies were reverenced by him as gods. He built altars in the court of the Lord's house, upon which offerings were brought. These offerings were not to the Lord, but to the sun, moon, and stars. Outside Jerusalem, he again set up the horrible brazen image of Moloch. His grandfather Ahaz did that too, didn't he? Manasseh caused his son to go through the fire, the same as Ahaz had done. Not only in Jerusalem, but also throughout the entire land, the idols again were worshipped. Everything which Hezekiah his father had destroyed was restored by Manasseh. Yes, Manasseh did many more evils than his grandfather Ahaz. He appointed fortune tellers and magicians throughout the land. He listened to the whistle and the cry of the birds and believed in their sounds. Manasseh believed that these creatures could foretell the future by their chatter. We read in the Bible that he wrought much wickedness. He placed an idolatrous image in the holy place of the temple. Strange priests walked about in the house of the Lord, and by so doing the temple became an idol temple. How did he dare do this? The people followed their wicked monarch in all ways. Did all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah agree with this? Were there no God-fearing Israelites left? Oh yes, happily there were, but no one was permitted to speak about the worship of the Lord. The Lord's name was not to be mentioned. They had to forget the Lord. Those who would risk speaking about the service of the Lord were persecuted and killed by Manasseh. The streets of Jerusalem were dyed red by the blood of many of God's children. Everyone had to bow his knees before the idols, and those who would not were slain upon the command of Manasseh. Manasseh forced his subjects to worship the idols. Most of them were obedient. They helped the king in all wicked and evil practices. Jerusalem became a bloody city. This is what we read in the Bible. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. But where was Isaiah now? Did he approve of all this? Didn't he warn the king? Yes, the Lord warned Manasseh in spite of all his abominations. Isaiah admonished the king of all his sins. Do you know what Manasseh did to Isaiah? Probably he sawed the old prophet into pieces in the hollow of a tree. We cannot be positive, but in Hebrews 11 we read, "Some were sawn asunder." This Paul wrote, and according to some expositors, Paul referred to Isaiah. When Manasseh and his subjects would not listen, the Lord threatened to drive the Jewish people from their land and to destroy Jerusalem, the bloody city. This would be the dreadful punishment upon the royal family and the subjects. A man sits upon a rough stone floor in a dark, gloomy dungeon of Babylon. When he moves, we hear the rattle of brass chains. This man is a prisoner. See him sitting there with his hands under his head. He sighs deeply, and large tears fall between his fingers upon the stone floor. This man is weeping. Laboriously, he bends his knees. Listen, he prays. O God, I have sinned. I have sinned grievously. I have committed much wickedness. Forgive, forgive my many sins and transgressions. Who is this man? This chained man is Manasseh, the wicked king of Judah. Manasseh? How is that possible? How has he come into this far, far away Babylon? Listen attentively. Enemies came into the kingdom of Judah. A hostile army invaded the land and conquered Jerusalem. The king was taken a prisoner, bound with two brass chains, brought to Babylon, and imprisoned in a dark, gloomy prison, a dungeon. It surely was a terrible thing for Manasseh, but he fully deserved it. There, in this dreary prison, Manasseh had time to think about his former wicked life. He had lived as though no God existed in heaven, but now he experienced that the Lord, the God of Israel, would not permit himself to be mocked. There he learned to bend his knees before the God of heaven and earth. Probably he did it there for the first time in his life. There he wept hot, bitter tears. There he confessed his sins before the Lord. Manasseh received true, upright sorrow on account of his wicked life. Yes, let me say it with one word, the Lord converted this wicked king, this mocker, this cruel man, this murderer of the people of the Lord. You can be sure that Manasseh lived through many fearful hours. Oh, would God be willing to hear him, such a great sinner? Would the Lord let him perish forever? If the Lord should, it would be righteous. The Lord would not do unjustly. There in that dungeon, the Lord manifested to Manasseh that he was long-suffering and merciful, and for the prayers of this weeping, sorrowing king were heard and answered by the Lord. God forgave him all his sins and transgressions. Oh, in this prison Manasseh saw by faith that the coming Savior also would redeem him from all guilt and transgressions. And when the Lord granted him this faith, a heavenly peace descended into his soul. The Lord not only forgave his manifold crimes and sins, but God also delivered him from this dungeon and returned him to Jerusalem. We do not know how. See him enter his palace. He did not deserve it. Indeed not. It was only by the grace of God. Oh, how ashamed he was when he beheld in Jerusalem the idol worship, which was the result of his work. He did everything he possibly could to rectify and make good what he had done wrong. He caused the idols in the temple to be brought outside Jerusalem and there to be broken to pieces. The strange altars in the courts of the house of the Lord were broken down and cleared away. Yes, he took away all the altars which were in Jerusalem. Now Manasseh worshipped the Lord. He set an example for his people. Wouldn't Isaiah have rejoiced if he could have lived to see this? But that faithful prophet was no longer alive. He had been slain by Manasseh. When the king thought about this, he bowed his head and was ashamed before God and the people. Manasseh grieved about Isaiah's death until the day of his own death. The Lord blessed Manasseh during the last years of his life. He reigned 55 years. Wasn't that long? Finally, he died. But his subjects did not bury him in the graves of the kings. Probably some of you have thought, how is it possible for such a wicked king to have been converted? Yes, children, it is possible, because everything is possible with the Lord. Nothing is too wonderful for him. Indifferent and careless, boys and girls, for you too, there is a possibility of being converted. Are there some among you who are mockers and cursers? You must not think it is impossible for me. I am too wicked to be converted. This is not true. The devil makes you believe it. Grace can be given to you too. You also can be converted. Oh, bend your knees and do the same as Manasseh. Ask God if He will forgive you your sins. After the death of Manasseh, his son Amon became king. He was a young man, 22 years of age, when he was crowned. He only reigned 2 years, but he did much evil in this short time. We read in the Bible that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He too served idols, the same as his father Manasseh had done before his conversion. He again erected the idol images and altars. He bowed his knees before these lumps of stone and wood and reverenced them. But Amon was not converted. Amon was not humbled before the Lord as his father was. Amon did not receive sorrow because of his sin. No, he continued to serve sin. A little later, he was slain in his own palace by a few of his servants. He was buried next to the grave of his father, thus not in the graves of the kings. The people killed the murderers of the king, but Amon died in his sins. He was only 24 years of age when he had to appear before God. He only had one small son, 8 years of age, a mere child. This little boy's name was Josiah, and he became king in his father's place.